Your most anticipated game, Final Fantasy 13 2 is coming out.
Gasp and joy.
You can play it the most.
Yay.
It's just like Final Fantasy 13, but like with all sorts of new innovations, like towns. And
I heard this one is shopkeepers. Yeah.
Basically all those things you loved in like Final Fantasy 1.
Woohoo!
Backwards innovation. The best kind.
Yeah, you know what else is backwards? I'm not playing it.
That's not backwards. What does that mean?
Because you're saying I'm going to.
You're dumb. I'm joined by my brother, AJ Guy.
Hello.
AJ Guy. You hate it when people say that, don't you?
Oh, it drives me nuts. That's why the A is capital and the J is not.
It's AJ Guy, yes. Not AJ Guy. So how's it going, AJ Guy?
I loathe thee.
Yes. But we got a great show. We're going to start off with the news. How's the news look?
We got a lot of stuff, actually.
Oh, really?
Busy week.
Is it going to like bore me? Is it boring?
I don't think so.
News? All right, we'll see about that. Then we're going to finish the game of the year, finally.
Finally.
So you'll find out our
someone finally beat Zelda.
Yeah. So you'll find out our five favorite games of the year. And then we'll talk about the most anticipated games for this year.
And we also could announce the winner of our contest.
Yes, our contest. So what are they winning?
Dota 2 beta key.
Ooh.
I was worried that by the time we finally did this, the beta would be over.
Yeah, there's still plenty of beta-ing to beta. All right, then. So after that, we'll do our week in gaming. And that'll be the show. So let's get going.
Okie dokie. Whoa. As I drop my iPad. First of all, Blizzard has announced that there is no BlizzCon in 2012.
That's kind of interesting. Well, yeah. It's weird because they say it's because they're going to be so busy making games. And they do have, like, three games
coming out this year, which is unheard of for Blizzard.
And you brought this point up earlier. Like, do the same people who make their video games, like, organize BlizzCon?
Yeah, some guy, like, writing code for Diablo 3 is like, all right, hang on, I got to stop. I got to go organize the booth. Like, I assume there's other people who do it.
Makes sense, though. That's why it's taking so long.
Yeah, maybe.
They spent 3 months out of the year.
I'm sure, like, you know, you have to make, like, BlizzCon builds and prepare all that stuff, but I mean, whatever. I've never been, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's kind of in Anaheim, right?
It's not like they have anything they could announce. It's just going to be showing all the stuff that is either going to be coming out or will be coming out in the very near future.
Yeah,
it's usually, like, October. I mean, I would expect...
I think it's like August-ish. In August.
By then, I would expect that Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2 would be out.
Well, at least Diablo 3. Who knows about the other ones? But, you know, there's got to be an expansion, right?
Yeah.
About Titan. I don't think we're going to hear about Titan this year.
No. Maybe that'll be the big thing for, like, the return of BlizzCon 2013. Titan announced.
Oh, my God.
By God.
Are there going to actually be Titans in Titan?
I don't know.
Do you think Titan... Have they said specifically that it's a new IP, or is it just a code name?
I believe they have.
I still suspect somehow it's going to be, like, secretly, or something.
Maybe
it'll
open up, like, the multiverse that Warcraft is part of, and, like, Azeroth is one of the planets you visit.
It'll be interesting to see what they do next. Anyways, next.
THQ is no longer making licensed kid games, focusing instead on, like, Saints Row and Warhammer, basically.
Funny, because I always thought that you would make a lot of money from those kinds of things, but maybe not.
Well, maybe when you flood the market with too many, like, I mean, well, think about it. If you're, like, just buying a SpongeBob game for your kid, and you walk in the store and there's, like, 12 of them, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, once you've made one, they're kind of evergreen, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess I know very little about the market for these crappy DS kids games.
I mean, those games used to be good games. Aladdin, Lion King.
Well, it was like when Capcom was making them.
Yes.
Not THQ.
So Lord of the Rings Online has announced their Riders of Rohan expansion, which if you go back and listen to a podcast around the time this game was announced, I always said this is what I wanted to do most in the game.
Is it really taking them this long to get down to Rohan?
I guess.
It's always kind of been weird to me how little of Middle-earth is really in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's how far they are.
You can't go to Gondor yet, I guess?
No. But this does introduce mounted combat to the game, which is something that a lot of MMOs don't do.
No, that's true. That could be a unique kind of thing.
The only thing that sucks is, I mean, I'm assuming you have to get, like, level whatever the cap is to even get to this stuff. It'd be nice if there's like a starter area in Rohan.
Hey, gotta level through it.
Yeah, I guess I'm not gonna do that. Insomniac has just blatantly said they are done with Resistance.
I mean, three of them. They're allowed to move on.
Apparently, three is pretty good.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what I meant to do. I meant to tell Chris to bring his copy home with him this weekend.
Oh, you're going to play Resistance 3 right
just
now?
Just to check it out real quick.
I can never get into it. Not my series.
Yeah.
Fine with them moving on.
Okay.
I'm sure somebody else will make Resistance games.
They are. Not Holistic. Well, they're doing the Vita version.
The guys who were going to make...
StarCraft Ghost. Yeah. So, okay, here's a bunch of Nintendo stuff.
Oh, goody.
First of all, confirmation, the Wii U is going to come out year-end of 2012. No big surprise there.
That's what we were expecting.
Right. They've announced the Nintendo Network, which was first kind of revealed on the cover art for, what was it on? Is it that Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm game, I think
it was? Fire Emblem?
No, it was that, I'm pretty sure.
Theater Rhythm?
Yeah.
Okay, for DLC.
Basically, this is Nintendo's DLC delivery network.
You were, like, upset about this and angered by it, even though this is exactly what you wanted them to do.
Yeah, when I hear Nintendo Network, that to me says, like, Xbox Live. This is basically, like, a new eShop.
Well, maybe other things can grow from it.
I guess.
I mean, this is a step in the right direction. They're doing this stuff now. I know you're mad that they didn't do it earlier.
Yeah.
You can't be mad that they are finally doing
it. I guess. The only thing I don't understand is, I mean, this is going to be for 3DS and Wii U. DLC, but also the potential for full retail games. Didn't they already confirm the Wii U doesn't have a hard drive?
You keep saying that. You realize how early that is when the Wii U is shown off? They could change a lot of things.
I guess. I'm just
saying. I still think that Wii U is going to have a hard drive, or at least a build with a hard drive.
I think it would have to if they plan to sell retail games.
I never believed that. I was like, you were the one, you were very adamant that you heard somewhere maybe that's definitely not having a hard drive.
No, it's in their spec list that they publicly released.
They already said that those specs are probably all different now.
I understand. I'm just thinking a hard drive is one of those things you would nail down.
Oh, they're good. Why not? Didn't the 360 for a while was definitely going to have a hard drive? Then I thought, like, oh, maybe optionally it doesn't have to.
No, they never said definitely. I think it always came out saying there would be two models.
I think it was always assumed it would since the Xbox One had one.
Which I still think was a mistake, but anyway.
Well, everyone does.
Yeah. Don't get too close to the name Wii U, though, because there's a rumor that Nintendo's looking to change it to avoid confusion.
I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, just call it Revolution again. Is that really that great a console name?
No.
Everyone loved that name.
But Wii U is also not good.
No, Wii is not good either. I don't think... Well, it's weird because it's not just the Wii name. That whole system is very much that Wii brand. The way it looks, the color scheme. So if you're not... If they say they're going to rename it, do they want to drop the Wii branding from it?
I don't know. Because
then you have to do a lot more work to it, too, I think.
I think, like, I mean, they're already still nervous about confusion between DS and 3DS. I mean, that's why, like,
no, that's,
the box art, they, like, just arbitrarily put the logo on the other side,
like,
to help you.
I know this kind
differentiate
of,
it.
If you were going to keep the Wii branding, just call it Wii 2.
Yeah.
Because that way there's simple. No confusion that it's definitely the next Wii.
I still, when I hear Wii U, for some reason it makes me think it's like a university for Wii.
Well, you just... okay. But there can be consumer confusion there. If you call it the Wii 2, it's obviously the next thing. Or
right.
Just call it something completely
different.
Work
for the PlayStation.
You know, people still know what Nintendo is. They know that Nintendo made the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the Nintendo, this system, people will get it.
Could you just call it, like, the Nintendo?
No.
I mean, people kind of do that anyway.
Doesn't everyone call the NES the Nintendo?
Huh?
Yeah, people called the NES the Nintendo.
Yeah, I know, because it became, like, the Band-Aid. There are still people who, like, refer to any video game as a Nintendo.
I understand. But I don't think they'll do that. It'd be cool if it came out, it was gray and, like... Red, be cool. Yes, sure, I'll call it Nintendo.
What else? Oh, so this is interesting. This is pretty cool. They've announced that the tablet controller for the Wii U is going to contain an NFC chip.
What's that?
Okay, NFC is near field communication. Basically, you know, like the credit cards you could just kind of tap?
Yes.
That's NFC.
So what could you do with this in a game?
The big thing they're talking about is how it would be used for microtransactions. So now... When you buy a Wii points card, you don't have to enter a code. The points card will have the NFC chip in it, and you just tap it to the controller.
Could you tap?
Or you could, in theory, just tap your credit card to
the
controller.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
Plus, I mean, there's other data transfer possibilities there. A lot of phones have NFC in them, so maybe you could somehow interface your phone to
that's
this
how you make
that
money,
way.
Is by making the buying of DLC and whatever as easy
now,
as possible.
Here's what else uses NFC. Skylanders.
Skylanders, you know what else could? Pokemon cards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Could you imagine if they make a new a proper, finally, after not doing this for 14 years, an actual console Pokemon game that uses the Skylanders concept, where you could get the Pokemon in game still, or you could just go buy a figure of the Pokemon you want and transfer it to the system by tapping.
Yeah, they're
going to
print money with that.
Could you imagine, like, if, like on the touchscreen, you set the Pokemon down, stuff comes up on the touchscreen for it, plus, like that could be really cool.
Yeah, some cool
that
ideas.
Would be, I think, the best way to utilize this controller they have with a surefire brand to make a killing. An absolute killing. I'd buy a Scyther figure and plop it down on my screen in a heartbeat.
Too bad this is going to be the last Nintendo system, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Casey, you haven't heard AJ was on Evan Killian's. I didn't even mean to do it on purpose. Yeah, he was on his this podcast contains spoilers. I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently you both came to the agreement that the Wii U will be Nintendo's last system ever.
Mm-hmm.
You told me this pretty this seems reasonable, and I said that this was literally the dumbest thing you have ever said. You'll have to listen. Just listen to that one idea they had, which will guarantee to make them zillions of dollars.
Mike, I could tell you a million
ideas. Why do you have so little confidence in Nintendo?
I just said they haven't made a proper Pokemon console game for 14 years.
They haven't needed to! Are they not making enough money off of Pokemon?
They could make more.
Oh, if only Ash Guy wasn't trying. They make play my... Look, the Wii... You're saying the Wii U is going to be so bad...
You're not going to make another system?
After?
I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I thought the Dreamcast was a great system.
AJ, Sega made another system after the Saturn.
I like the Saturn.
I know you liked the Saturn. Who else had a Saturn? Who else? Nobody!
Somebody.
No, they didn't. How many people do
we
you think?
We had the only Saturn
AJ,
in
you
North
were
America.
The first week the Wii U comes out, whatever the hell they're going to call it, you are going to know 50 times more people that have that than ever had the Sega Saturn.
Well,
the Wii U is going to be
on the internet, sure.
No,
locally.
Locally, you'll know 10 people, I bet.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Wii U is going to be fine. Even if the Wii U was kind of a sort of disappointment like the GameCube was. Yeah, what do you think it's going to do worse than the GameCube? The Wii U. You think they're going to follow? Look at your face right now. Like, you actually think that. Somebody remember this. Somebody, please. Please remember this. Write it down in stone. That Edge guy thinks that, oh, yeah, after the Wii U, Nintendo's done. Gonna make Mario games for the Xbox. What? This is literally the stupidest thing you've ever said. This is the most hyperbolic thing you have ever said. Like, oh, yeah, they're done.
Hit the epitome of hyperbole.
They're done. They're finished. Yeah. I don't like the Wii, and they had one bad quarter. Two, maybe. So, they're finished. And do you realize they probably still have, like, literally a Uncle Scrooge money bin from the NES money? Like, from the NES money. They still have that. It's just, like, laying there.
Okay.
They're, you know, but you don't believe me. They'll be fine.
If you guys wish you could see Mike right now.
It's literally the stupidest thing
like
you have ever said.
Right now.
You should have never heard me when you first told me this, how angry he is. Like, no, you know, I love you, Evan, but, like, I don't know what you two were doing, what kind of smugness you were feeding off each other that you came to this conclusion about Nintendo. Yeah, they're finished. It was a good run. But the Wii U, that'll be it for them.
Okay.
Next. God. Somebody remember he said this, please.
They also said that they're releasing a totally new 3DS Mario side-scroller.
Shock and awe.
Right. But still.
Print some money. Yeah, it'll be fun. Do Super Mario Bros. 3D or something. I still prefer the size. I mean, the platform. I mean, 3D platformers.
Yeah. All right. That does it for Nintendo. So, we talked about how, like, they're reissuing the Mass Effect action figures with DLC codes. There's also going to be some DLC if you pre-order the Mass Effect Trilogy art book, which I think is probably going to happen because it looks really nice, too.
Yeah, whatever. Art books. I'm not a big fan of art
I know
books.
You're not. I like them sometimes. Steam has released a mobile app for Droid and iOS.
Isn't it kind of like in beta?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you could download it, but then, like, you have to try to log in, and then it'll tell you you're not in the beta, but we've now entered you for the beta. It's kind of weird.
What can you do in this app? Just buy games?
You could use all the community features, chat and everything.
Interesting.
What's interesting, I was trying to figure this out, because usually, like, on iOS, the rule is you can't just like if you're going to charge for like in-app purchases, you have to use Apple's system. Mm-hmm. But I think they probably get around it because you're not buying anything to use on the iPhone. You know, it'd be like Amazon, I guess. They don't have to do that, so I think that's how they get away with it.
Fair enough.
Okay. Where'd I go? So, Resident Evil Revelations will be out soon. Capcom does apologize
for misspelling it on the Dan Shu.
Yes, your boss Dan Shu is the one who kind of broke this on Twitter.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they said they'll reissue the packaging somehow to people. Like, it's basically the Okami thing again.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. Capcom again.
You think they'd learn their lesson?
No, but you see, they dropped the price to $40.
That's good.
I think they realized they couldn't do it.
No.
I knew they couldn't. Like, you can't just...
Plus, I mean, it sounds like it's still not necessary, but a good idea to get the dual analog stick thing for it.
I've heard people who got that say it feels fine. Like, it's not
I
as
have
bulky.
Too. Well, when I think about it, I mean, I do kind of cramp up when holding the 3DS for extended
Maybe you can
time.
Use that little.
So, yeah, it might be nice. Did you play that demo yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty much resigned that I'm going to get it. Okay. I like Resident Evil.
I want you to play it because I finished it. So.
Right.
Okay. Oh, Vita. So, perhaps people are saying this is like Sony like anticipating a bad launch in America as it was in Japan. I mean, I don't know how much I buy that. But they're trying to sweeten the pot on the 3G version of the system now. If you pre-order it, you get for your $300 now an 8GB one of their cards, which I think is worth $40 right there, a free month of 250 MB data cap on the 3G service, which is $15, and a free PSN title.
Which one?
Of your choice.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal. I mean, because you were going to need the memory card.
Yeah.
And you're getting a free game, so it's almost like getting the 3G and a month of it for free.
It probably isn't going to be a great launch for them. I can't really imagine.
I think we've kind of proven that like this time period is not a good time to launch a console, like the February, March.
Yeah.
They should just all come out in the winter. But still, I'm excited. I mean, I want to play Uncharted.
Yeah, quite.
So, first of all, your comic about this is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
They've announced a bunch of guest characters for Street Fighter Cross Tekken. And I read the headline. The headline, I was very excited. It's like Mega Man and Pac-Man in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I was like, fuck yeah. So Pac-Man is like in like some Tron Bond-style robot suit. So like, okay, whatever. Then they showed Mega Man.
It's like the Mega Man 1 cover art Mega Man, but they also fatter.
Well, it's like if some fat guy wanted to cosplay Mega Man at Comic-Con, and he decided to do the Mega Man 1 outfit.
Now, my Bug's reaction in the comic was one of horror. I kind of do find this funny.
I think it's hilarious, only because they're just trolling us now.
Right, it's like... It does still make me wonder if we're ever going to, like, get Mega Man again.
And it cracks me up, because the Street Fighter guy's like, yeah, I talked to Inafune, and he thought it was a great idea. It's like, he quit. He probably did this to fuck with you guys.
Yeah, like, he cares.
Oh, my God. Like, I just saw it, and I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah, there are other characters, too, like...
two other characters that
Cole.
Cole from Infamous.
And there was somebody kind of famous. Maybe somebody I didn't recognize. Yeah,
there's like these two little characters.
You're right. But they're all only for Sony.
Yeah, like, I can understand why Cole would be exclusive, but why everything else?
Money, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
It sounds like a game I might just get for the Vita, really.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next.
Okay. Diablo 3. Blizzard is making, like, sweeping changes to this game all of a sudden.
Oh, that's nice.
The latest cuts are these companion pets, I guess, were going to be in the game. Like literally.
Like a torchlight?
Yeah, but, like, they weren't combat pets. Literally, like, pets in WoW, but you would use them to sell your stuff. The biggest reason, I guess, they had those is there was some kind of technical issue that was preventing Scrolls of Town Portal from working, but they figured it out.
I thought they don't have Scrolls of Town Portal anymore. You just have a recall button, basically, now.
Well, yeah. I guess Scrolls are back in now.
Oh. Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think. This was confusing. I mean, having not played the beta, I'm not quite sure where all this is coming
from. There's no Scroll of Identity anymore.
No, that's gone. It's just, like, it, like, takes time to figure out what something is. They also got rid of these Scrolls of Reforging. I didn't quite get this either.
Well, does that have something to do with durability?
I think it lets you, like, break down items and recraft them into something else.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Ew.
I just think it's interesting that, like, so much, like, this is, like, the kind of thing, like happens to an MMO after it's been out for 4 years, and they're like, we need to reinvent this.
Yeah. God, I wonder when this game's going to come out.
I want to play it so bad. Mike, how do you feel about online passes?
I don't care. Okay, I buy games new. Often the content isn't that important. So, like in Kingdoms of Amalur, I guess there's, like, 8 missions, right?
Well, it's a quest. And so Kirk Schilling himself came out in front of this, and I like him. He's very just straight-up honest about everything.
Yeah.
So there's going to be this quest that's in, you know, the DLC card inside of Amalur. Kirk Schilling came out to say, like, look, like, this content was going to be day one paid DLC. And we were like, okay, look, we'll give it to, like, the people who buy it new for free. So thank you for buying the game new. If you don't, then you're going to pay for this. Like, I see no problem with that.
It's not like Kingdoms of Amalur is a game that's not going to have enough quests. If this was not in there, you would not have missed it.
Right, exactly. That's
what I'm betting.
And, you know, he said, like, you know, maybe I should have been more in front of this, and we kind of announced it late. So I'm sorry. This is me screwing up because this is the first time I've ever owned a game card.
No, I get mad now that, for some reason, online pass is just immediately bad press.
Yeah.
I think Tycho said something. I think it was Gabe just on Twitter today. He was like, look, you're going to have to give your money to one of two fat cats. One, the fat cats actually made a game.
Yeah.
The other one's just GameStop.
Yeah.
So I'll give my money to, the one who made the game. It was a little bit more.
Well,
I'm not saying, like, shut down the used games market or anything. I'm just saying, look, if you
this
buy
is how
a used game,
now.
Then guess what? You don't get this. You don't get those extra missions.
Yeah.
You're going to cry about it. Or you even still can't get it. I got to pay more money. I just can't believe that this is worth as much fuss as it has apparently been.
If people were this upset about it, then when these started, you should have not bought those games. Vote with your dollars. But no, you still bought these video games, so they're going to keep doing it.
I just don't think it's a big deal.
I completely agree. Like, the reason I think it was an issue with Batman, with the whole Catwoman thing, is because they showed that content really far in advance and talked about how it was integral to the story and integrated to the game. And then, like, 2 weeks before the game came out, they're like, oh, yeah, that's behind a pass. And it was just kind of like,
and then it turned out that it really wasn't all that.
Yeah, that's the thing. They oversold it and then, like, underdelivered on it a little bit.
I
think that's what got them into trouble.
Once again, I would probably not have missed that Catwoman stuff very much if it wasn't in it.
No,
it was neat.
It was nice. It was, but yeah, exactly.
If it wasn't there, I wouldn't have been like, oh, this game's missing something.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's like I've always said, if I'm buying a game used, that usually happens, like, after it's been out for 2 years and I happen to see it for, like, $12, and I'm like, oh, the hell with it. I'll pick this up and try it.
The used game market could be gone tomorrow, and it would not affect me too much.
No,
I'd get over it. Yeah. Like I do. I trade in games and buy. I trade in games, get credit. I don't really buy used games very often, but I'll more often trade games in so I can buy more new
games. Yeah, I do that.
Although it's weird how as many people seem to love new used games, these are often the same people who love to buy games digitally. In which case, they don't really own anything.
Yeah,
and they don't have a problem with that. So I don't know. I don't know what people want. I think people. And this kind of sounds like a little jerkish, but I think people just like to complain. I really do.
Well, did you see how the online pass for SSX is working?
No.
I thought this was kind of neat. You can still play online without the pass, but you get, like, in-game currency for winning online. You don't keep your currency. Now, it is keeping track of your currency, so if you do buy the pass after the fact, you'll get everything. But it basically would be like if you bought Battlefield 3 new and you could play it, but you couldn't level up until you bought the pass.
Sounds inoffensive to me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure people will be angry.
Uh-huh.
Furious.
So, oh, this will make you happy. Well, it did make you happy. Capcom has announced Ace Attorney 5. That's pretty much all we know.
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll be a 3DS game. We don't know who the main character is. I guess the only thing I worry about is that, I mean, I'm fairly certain it'll come out here, but The second Miles Edgeworth game did not come out here.
Yeah.
That was a spinoff, though. That was a sequel of a spinoff. But still, I wish that did. I still hope this does. Do we know? Did they announce that?
Layton
Phoenix Wright?
I was just going to ask you that.
I think they did.
I think so. I wasn't sure. That's what I was going to ask you.
I still assume it is. Well, but the last Professor Layton game sold like a million copies outside of Japan, so there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
The way I see it.
They also announced HD iOS versions of Phoenix Wright 1 through 3. which
that sounds nice. You can play Phoenix Wright now.
Well, they did Phoenix Wright 1, which I beat, and I bought it just so I could say, like, vote with my dollars and be like, release the other two, damn it.
Oh, now they are.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, if
yours will be upgraded.
Yeah, how this new one's different at all.
I wonder if this version of the HD one is going to come with the Case 5 that was in the DS version of Ace Attorney.
I don't know if it's in the existing one or not.
Because everyone forgets that those first three DS Phoenix Wright games were really remakes of Game Boy Advance games that came out in Japan a long time ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll totally get 2 and 3 to the
game. Oh, they're great, especially 3. 3 is still my favorite of the series. 3 is fantastic.
All right.
Oh, God, those games are good. Can't wait.
So I try to avoid spoilers on this podcast, but EA, using Madden, have predicted the Giants to win the Super Bowl.
They've been right about this more often than not, right?
I don't know. I'm actually not sure where their record is on this.
I think they have been pretty good.
I'm for it.
Whatever.
Sorry, Lick. Down with the Patriots. So Microsoft, they came out to say that there will be no new Xbox in 2012. But to read this...
No, I thought they came out and said that they're not going to announce a new Xbox.
Now you're going to make me look at the exact 2012. Quote. Because this guy's wording was weird.
Which I read this, I was like, really? Because if you don't announce the new Xbox in 2012, report. Don't expect next Xbox announcements this year.
Well, hang on. Let's find the quote, because the quote is what was weird about it. Oh, stupid iPad. Okay. So it says, see, here's the thing. It's translated from French. So this is where, like, I feel like something getting lost in translation to begin with.
Xbox 360 cycle is not at all finished. Mm-hmm. The proof is that we don't see the logic in cutting the price this year, said Cedric Dalmax in a French-language interview with Le Point, according to Develop. He goes on, E3 is still premature. What's certain is that there will be nothing new 2012.
So is he just saying no new hardware release? I don't expect them to release new hardware in 2012. I just expect them to announce what they're working on for the future in 2012.
Yeah, this doesn't really sound like he's saying there won't be an announcement. If they're releasing a system in 2013, they have to announce it.
Yeah, this reads to me like we're not releasing anything. It's weird because no one said that.
Right.
But
it's weird because people sometimes they always seem to think like it's just, I don't know why, because it's never happened. But like whenever a system is announced, they're like, oh, maybe it'll come out this year, which has never ever happened. Like when the Wii U was announced last E3, they're like, oh, it'll probably come out this fall. Like, no, it won't. Yeah,
absolutely not.
So for the Xbox 720, whatever, to come out in 2013, presumably at the end of 2013, it had to be announced at E3, at least. Next.
My final story. Black Mesa, the kind of Duke Nukem Forever of the modding community, might be coming out soon.
Oh, really? This is basically just like the souped-up version of Half-Life 1, right?
Yeah, like completely remade in the Source engine. They said they were launching a new website soon. And what
was Half-Life Source then?
It was Half-Life in the Source engine, but like all the art assets from Half-Life 1. They basically just ported it to the new engine.
Right, and it added like the physics.
Okay. Yeah, the physics and like, you know, the lighting and things like that, but not much else. This is like a complete rebuild.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. I've always played like the first 2 hours of Half-Life 1 a lot. So
it falls apart a little bit at the end when you're like doing jumping platforms.
Well, yeah, and then you're like go to the alien world. It's, right. Let's be honest, it's no Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. Mm-hmm. The impressive thing about it was how it was just different from other FPSs at the time.
Right.
It's kind of very, FPSs weren't really doing the whole no levels story thing. Yeah, immersive story, no levels, you just kind of kept going. You had that in, like, System Shock 2 a year later.
I can still remember when this kid in high school was telling me about this game Half-Life that was coming out. I was like, well, tell me about it. And he's like, for the first half hour of the game, you're just, like, riding a train to work. And this shows you how weird I am, I guess, because I was like, that's amazing.
It was amazing, too. That's what was interesting about it. It was so cool.
But even just hearing it described as that, I was like, that's so cool.
It was, because it wasn't done. Nothing was done anything like that. Now almost every game starts off with something like that.
Yeah, some non-interactive ride-along thing.
Half-Life 2 did it better, because you kind of walked through a city.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And think about how many iconic moments there are in, like, that.
The first half hour of Half-Life 2.
Right, like the whole pick up at the can thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many things right there. All right. Is that that?
That's it.
All right. Let's do this. Game
at
of the
long
year.
Last, the world can finally rest at peace knowing.
So, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What's your number 5?
My number 5 is Uncharted 3.
It's lowish.
It is a little lowish. Now, I should preface this. The degrees of difference between these five games, very small.
Me too. Much more so than in previous years.
Yeah.
Like, my number five game, my number one game, I don't necessarily like the one a whole lot more.
Right. So, let me explain perhaps why Uncharted 3 is not higher. I think Uncharted 3 had the best individual moments of any game I've ever played this year. The chateau, the ship.
The horse riding.
Yeah, like, those were all incredible. Like, moments where I literally was, like, shouting holy shit out loud. But some of the moment-to-moment in this game suffered a little bit, I think. Like, the first fight scene in that bar blew my mind.
Like, yeah, that's cool.
But in a game that is so known for its variety of animation, there were not enough animations for the fights. Like, when the big bruiser guys came out in, like, every fight scene, those were all the exact same fight, which got a little frustrating. Like, he would do, like, there was that one animation where he does, like, a backhanded punch that followed with a right hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you did that every time, and it looked exactly the same. Especially when you compare it to Batman's hand-to-hand, it doesn't even come close.
Right. Well, nothing does. And then nothing can touch Batman's
ability. I know you hate it when people say this, and I don't make as big a deal of it as some people, but the shooting isn't my favorite thing about these games.
Yeah. I know, but I get mad at people like, oh, you should just take shooting out.
No, you shouldn't take it out, but I don't know. I don't know how to handle it. Like, someone put this very well. I forget where I heard this, but, like, the leading up to the cruise ship, when you're kind of going through that ship graveyard.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I got to fight through this. It wasn't so much, oh boy, I get to fight through this. It's like, oh, I got to fight through
that
this.
That was a hard part, too.
Yeah. Like,
I think that was stuck there.
It's a hard thing to put your finger on, but they need to do something with the shooting.
I still say that.
Honestly, I think it just takes too long.
I think that it's just, to me, and maybe this is an oversimplification, I think it's just harder, and people don't like that.
But I just think, I feel like, I mean, it was a really big problem in Uncharted 1, and they've made it a lot better since then. But these enemies are bullet sponges.
Yeah, they are. They
take a lot to kill. And in a game that feels so realistic, I feel like when I pop a guy in the head, he should just go down.
I still get mad at things like, I actually kind of forgot what I was going to say.
Huh?
Which is terrible radio. Terrible radio. That's weird. That thought just, like, wow.
It's completely gone.
Like, I mean, I was, like, seconds away from saying it. Something about Uncharted 3, I assume. Something about shooting things. Oh, I remember. I get mad when people say, like, oh, it doesn't make sense with the character because he shoots a lot of people. He's still, like, a good guy.
No, I'm over that.
This annoys me for two reasons. First off, and they say, oh, they never actually address it. Second off, they specifically address it at the end of Uncharted 2. They make a big point out of it. I guess everyone just forgot.
They kind of did.
The bad guys came out and said, you're a hypocrite. You kill a lot of people. You kill
many
people.
Yeah, and then Nate doesn't say anything, and then they just kind of keep going.
And Nate says he's nothing like, well, the difference is that Nate's defending himself or fighting for something.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to save people. But, I mean, look, this is just a thing because it's a video game. I've always said if there's an Indiana Jones video game, he would be killing a lot more people than he does. And he still does kill people.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of goes with the adventure genre. I'm sorry.
Right.
He has a gun. He's going to shoot bad guys. I, if you're thinking about these people's families and stuff, you're kind of doing it wrong. These, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just sit down and enjoy your Uncharted. Okay.
But I feel like the way to make it maybe better is instead of, like, these combat arenas where waves after waves of guys come in where you create the situation where he does become a mass murderer.
See, this is
I think it could be better with smaller scale, more involved fights.
I guess, but didn't we not agree not too long ago that Uncharted 2 is the best thing ever? And all of a sudden, we all have all these criticisms of how to make this better.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, these things didn't bother me in 2. I don't know if I got to play 2 and then 3 back-to-back to see exactly how different they are. Because I don't remember the fights being this frustrating in 2.
I don't remember you complaining about Uncharted 3 when you beat it until after you read all this stuff about it.
No, keep in mind. Yeah. This is not me complaining. I am nitpicking at an excellent game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But, like, I'm not mad at you, but other people really want to tear this game apart as if it was bad when I get mad. Let's move on.
What's your number 5?
Skyrim.
That low.
It's low. I thought it's weird because almost everyone in the contest thought this would be my number 1.
Yeah.
And I like Skyrim.
I knew it wouldn't be your number 1, but I thought it'd be high.
I like Skyrim a lot. I did. Not very many surprises, though, I would say. It was what I thought it would be. I thought it would be a much prettier Oblivion with a lot of the systems kind of made better. That's what it is. That is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I still wish there was maybe more of the social interaction aspect of it, because there isn't. I still wish the story was a little bit more, was a little told better sometimes, in terms of dialogue, I guess. Mm. Stuff like that. But, I mean, I you know, it's a giant open world game, and I like it for what it is. A lot. I like it. It's just, it didn't blow my mind. Not really. It was a lot of fun. It was amazing to play.
Okay.
What's your number four? I like Skyrim a lot. I feel bad. It's like it's number five. No, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. Huge achievement. Loved it. But right. Yeah.
Well, my number four is Batman: Arkham City. As I've said a lot of times, I'm a huge fan of exciting ways to move around an environment in a game.
Yeah.
And this game has that in spades. When you get the thing that lets you use the grapnel, like where you double tap A and you like it's zoom like, forward and
basically
launch
you can
yourself,
just start flying.
Oh my god, that was so fun.
That was.
So fun. The hand-to-hand combat in this game is unparalleled. It is my favorite melee combat system in a video game ever. Like you.
Oh, it's kind of, it's pretty easy, really.
It's easy, but it's
no. I mean,
it's deep,
easy to
you know?
Say that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, it's not like, easy. I'm sure that's incredibly hard to figure that
but
shit
it's,
out.
It's just so fun to like leap into the middle of like 20 guys and know that you got this.
When you pull off the combos, it just looks beautiful.
Oh, it does. No game emotion looks better in a combat system. The story's great. I mean, like some people complain, like oh, they just like were throwing too much shit in there, and like villains were there and it needed to be shut up. It was awesome. I like things like that, where you kind of get, like, a lot of the characters that you know in the story. My only complaint with the story is I do feel like it ends kind of quickly. Like, where I thought I was hitting, like, the halfway point.
I didn't have that same problem with you did. Well, you claimed that you didn't see the end coming, and I did.
It was like I saw it coming, I was like, really? This is, oh, okay. Like, it's hard for me to articulate this without spoiling the game, which I still don't want to do.
Mm.
But there was one event that made it feel like I was moving from, like, part A to part B, and I thought they would be the same length, and they really weren't.
Yeah, I really thought. I don't know. They didn't have the same problem. I didn't have that wall.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, the game looks so good, too. Yeah, it looks really good. But yeah, it's awesome.
My turn?
Yes.
Number four, Uncharted 3.
Wow.
I think everyone's. I know this will kind of surprise everybody. Again, I liked Uncharted 3 a lot. And it wasn't very different from Uncharted 2. Did it need to be? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm not going to come out and say Uncharted 3 Game of the Year for, you know, I don't want to say play it safe, but kind of play it safe in a way. And then I was not that I ever asked to do more than that. Now, my biggest problem with the games are not the mechanical problems that you were kind of talking about that other people have. I have more story issues. I'm still upset that they can't really get a good villain down.
Yeah.
Marlowe, as much as she was hyped, really wasn't that interesting or effective.
And she had the potential to be.
Right, but they didn't do much with her. She was... Yeah, she was just basically another secret society boogeyman, my least favorite
which
kind
was
of.
I'm saying, because, I mean, she had history with the characters.
She had history. It wasn't played up enough.
Yeah.
Especially with Solly. Actually, sometimes they act like she had more of a history with Nathan. She really did. Mm-hmm. They should have given them more history. You find another Lost City. That's fine, but. And yeah. I think, from what I understand, the Vita 1, I think that's what you're doing again. I kind of want Nate to go after something besides Lost Cities. There's only so many of those.
Right.
But, I mean, then that's it. I don't, you know. I love Uncharted 3. Obviously, everybody knows that.
Right.
But it's not my game of the year. No.
Okay.
At least three more games I found more impressive. Your turn. All
right. Number three.
Hmm?
Skyward Sword.
This
is fascinating.
I kind of thought you might put this lower, actually.
Okay. Well, here's what happened. I played Skyrim. And I played Skyward Sword. I was like, wow, I don't know which one I like better. And I finished Skyrim first, and I kind of got my thoughts on that. And I'm like, okay, I need to finish Skyward Sword before I can make an intelligent comparison. At this point, I was really unsure.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Skyward Sword. So I'm like, where I picked it back up again, where I started playing, was the last proper dungeon in the game. Like, before the...
Yeah, I know what they're doing. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going into that dungeon. I'm looking at, like, my item wheel. And I have all the items. So I'm wondering, like, what I'm going to get in this dungeon.
You hated this. I was terrified to go in this dungeon because you hyped it up as being so bad. This dungeon was fine.
They give you what I think was the worst item in the history of Zelda.
It's fine.
It was so boring.
It was okay. You
the mechanic that spawns this item. Again, I'm trying to be vague. People know what I'm talking about. I thought it was just the most boring thing. And the last thing I want to be doing in this game. So you do that. Then you get to, like, the last kind of third of the game. There's basically three series of fetch quests in this game. This is the last one you do. I hated it.
Again, wasn't that bad. You're overreacting.
Just compared to the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, they weren't dungeons, is all.
But the thing is, before this happened, the game was building towards this climax. Like, really got me amped. I was so excited. And then it's like, go do this. And I was like, why? Why is this here? You could cut this, and no one would care.
Well, I mean, it's the
no
same.
No one would notice.
I mean, a lot of these old games do this, where right before you do the final bit, there's kind of this lull where it slows down a bit, and you kind of revisit a lot of the past areas. Wind Waker did the same thing. A lot of people criticized it for that. It was the when you had to find the 8 shards of the Triforce and that. This is the same exact kind of thing.
But it was so bad.
But it was interesting because you go to the 3 major areas, and they're kind of different. And each one has its own kind of thing to do. One was, you know.
Yeah, but what you do there isn't particularly interesting.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm saying, I still thought it was fun. I wasn't just doing it all the time going, I know you were.
I was.
But besides that, okay,
But then you get to the final bosses.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even if that was a down point, they are followed up by winning the highest points of the year. And I'll say it right now, the final boss of Skyward Sword is one of the best final bosses easily in the last decade. If it doesn't easily just win that outright.
I'll agree with you there.
And especially in an age where all we ever do is complain about how bad final bosses are.
Yeah, that was great.
And
that was great.
You know, and I'll say it right now. You know, Uncharted can't do final bosses right. Batman can't do final bosses right. Big games that we all love. BioShock got torn apart for not doing bosses right. People are now just giving up on doing final bosses because they can't do it anymore. Skyward Sword nailed it.
Yeah.
Everything a final boss needs to be. I think earlier we were talking about Sonic Generations as the worst final boss fight I've probably ever seen. If you want to see the exact opposite of how to do a final boss fight, play Skyward Sword. So if you're not sure if you need to beat Skyward Sword, you have to beat it. And not just the final boss fight, but the stuff leading up to it is great.
And then one thing that drove me nuts, too, is you beat the game, and then it asks you basically if you want to play New Game Plus. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, this will delete your save file. And I'm like, wait a minute.
I kind of want
that save file because I didn't do all the side quests. Maybe I want to.
Nope.
So I guess I'm not going to do New Game Plus. So, like, I guess what they expect me to do is say no, go do all the side quests, finish everything I could possibly finish, then go beat the final boss again, and then do the New Game Plus.
See, I kind of said New Game Plus. I wish I didn't because I did want to do something.
I didn't get that at all.
I mean,
I also hate that you got the bow and arrow so late in the game because it's really fun.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool. The items in that game, though, were great.
Oh, yeah, except for the one.
Okay, yeah, I know you hate the one. But, because they had some new items, and they actually worked well. There was no dreidel of death.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Twilight Princess item, where you basically only ever used it inside of that one dungeon.
But the
last kind of dungeon was cool, because it kept, like, making you use all items.
And
using the item wheel, holding on B, lets you access those items so quickly that it's not a pain to go back and forth between them.
Right.
And items are missing that you think would have to be in every Zelda game, like the boomerang. You don't miss it at all.
And the one thing I said on Evan's podcast, which was funny to me when I realized it, Wind Waker is still my favorite of the 3D Zeldas, I think. And I think part of it is, like, remember how, like, supposedly 2 dungeons got cut?
Yeah.
I think that might be part of it. That's the thing. Nintendo's so obsessed with being like, oh, it's 100 hours.
Well,
amazing.
I think a lot of that is consumer pressure, too, because people have this weird thing, like, oh, this game. Because, when they say 70 hours, I hear people go, like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, what?
I'd much rather this be a great 20-hour game than a pretty good 50-hour game.
How long was their playtime? I don't know if I got to see. I don't know how long.
I think it was close to 30, because I really didn't do a lot of side questing. That's the thing, too. For all the side questions in this game, you don't need any of it.
Well, that's always been my criticism with these Zelda games, especially in Twilight Princess. I did none of them. I thought they were more interesting in this one. I thought the rewards were slightly better, since there was the whole upgrading materials thing. There's nothing harder in the game to do than beat the final boss, and you don't really need that much help to do that.
No.
All right, my number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Read your list, because you don't remember.
I was just helping myself out. Portal 2.
Aha.
Portal 2.
Well, should I just jump ahead and say that's my number 2?
No. You jerk. I mean, you did without asking. I guess
we can discuss it at the same time.
Fine,
you see.
Fine. Well, you liked Portal 2 a little bit more than me, apparently.
Yes, go ahead.
No,
I'll let you go
first. I don't know about that, but look, Portal 2 was great. I have nothing. I'm getting to the point now where I have nothing bad to say about any of these games, really. Especially Portal 2, which was just constantly funny, very challenging. kind of a unique sort of thing. I can't explain why it's number three. I liked it a lot. What to you? Is there anything wrong with Portal 2? Help me out here. Why can't I really say
anything that was wrong with the game. That's the thing. Like, what I appreciate so much about this game is, and I think Valve does this better than most, is this is a story as could only be told in a video game.
And what's great about the story is what it chooses not to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, but there's no way, you cannot experience the story the way you experience it in any other medium. Mm-hmm. Like, this is completely unique to video games, the way you progress through this game's world. And that's the thing. Like, the first Portal hinted at, like, the kind of larger world of Portal with, like, the hidden rooms and what we found out to be the Ratman stuff. But, like, when you get into old Aperture and you start figuring all this out, I mean, it's incredible how much lore and backstory there is to this.
I could kind of say, same thing you kind of felt with Zelda. Did you kind of feel when you got out of old Aperture that you were kind of ready to get to the end a little bit faster than the game let you? Because you had a whole another third of the game to go.
True, but, like...
And it was still entertaining, but there was a lot of, you know, they introduced yet another new element to the portals, and it was all fun, but you kind of had this feeling like there was a carrot and stick, like, get to Wheatley, and it was hard to get to Wheatley.
Yeah.
It took a while.
But what made that last third fun was you've been in Aperture under GLaDOS's control before.
Right.
So this is kind of getting to see Aperture in the hands of an
idiot. It's not much of a criticism. It's all I got.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I like that. I like seeing, like, how he would screw up the place.
Right. If I had any complaint, I would have wished for more of a Half-Life tie-in, just because I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And there are, like, little hints of it. Like, you can find the dock for that ship they talk about.
The Borealis, yeah.
Things like that. But, yeah, I don't have much bad to say about it. I love Portal 2 a lot. That's your runner-up, huh?
Yeah. What's yours?
Oh, wow. That's your game here. My number two is Batman, which I think is higher than people thought I would have put it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought you put
and
it
I kind
that
of thought
high
about
all.
It, and I was like, you know, people aren't giving Batman enough credit this year, because they probably did a better job than a lot, just by every other game, just being pure fun.
Yeah.
And it's all about nailing one simple concept, like melee combat, and doing that better than anyone ever has by far. And just making that so much fun. And you kind of have that Zelda thing of, like, getting these items and progressing, or Metroid thing. Mm-hmm. I love open-world games when they're done right. Batman definitely was just, you know, when it's fun to travel around the open world, like in this or in a Red Dead Redemption. That's kind of always been my problem with Grand Theft Auto, is that I don't have fun just driving around through crowded cities in a car. That's not fun to me. But, like, riding a horse or flying like Batman, or, like, in Just Cause 2, using a whole parachute thing. That's fun. This is clearly fun. Yeah. And it's filled with all that Batman stuff. That's great.
You know what's a great thing they subtly do in this game to make the world seem bigger than it is? And I bet a lot of people don't even notice this. The way how, I mean, the city's
like
basically...
Because you have to... The way it's like a C that you have to try... You can't cut through it.
Right. It's basically a rectangle, but because there's that chunk in the middle, it's like if you... You have to, like, stretch it out to be, like, a longer line.
Mm-hmm. And I love there's a great amount of side things to do. Missions and whatnot.
I still need to go back and get the last Riddler trophies.
Right, yeah. The Riddler trophies are so ingenious and so much fun.
I know. I mean, the fact that I 100% of those in Arkham Asylum, like, impressed even me that I actually felt motivated enough to do that.
Yeah, I thought it was a good voice cast. Very impressive game. Mm-hmm. Quite a fan. So what's your game of the year? I guess I know.
Yes, it is Skyrim.
Wow.
Skyrim is...
That was my number five.
I
don't think we've ever disagreed this much.
I know. To me, Skyrim is like everything that epitomizes what I like to do in a video game. Where, I mean, a lot of the criticism Skyrim gets, they're twofold. You got the people who are like, oh, like, there's too much going on and it distracts from the main story, and I just get confused when I
stop
playing.
I never understood that either.
I don't either. I think you just lack discipline. You can't say, all right, I don't want to do that side stuff. I'm just going to, like, keep the main quest as my primary objective and follow the markers.
Pick a quest line and go with it for a while.
Yeah, like, there's nothing that says you have to do all this
stuff.
Like,
here's a tip. Don't do the miscellaneous stuff, because it's probably not that important.
And here's the thing. You know, in an Elder Scrolls game, when you finish the main quest, you get to keep playing.
Yeah.
Just say, well, I'm going to finish the main quest, and I'll do all this other stuff if I want to. Like, I never understood that argument against these games. I just don't get that at all.
No, I never have either.
And then, you know, a lot of people complain about the combat in this game. Which is kind of fair.
Not as big a problem. I don't see that either. I mean,
now,
it's different. It's not God of War. It's not Kingdom of Amalur.
Now, I'll say this. I I primarily play through the game as a mage. I think that's if combat's your complaint, play as a mage.
I will say I had a lot more fun playing with my mage stuff in 5 than I did as a just kind of a sword and shield guy in 4.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more fun. I don't know if it was more overpowered.
If combat is your biggest complaint, do magic. Because that has a ton of variety to it. I can understand some of the criticisms leveled against the melee combat. Do magic. That makes it all go away. But I love just getting a big open world that I can tell my own stories in. Because, you know, like you were saying, like, the main quest isn't told the best way possible.
It's not just main quest. No, not. But kind of that meta stuff you can do. Well, the thing with the main quest in these kind of games where you can tell there's so many different writers involved and stuff, mm-hmm. some just stick out as much better than others.
Right. But I just love being able to, like when I play this game, I end up filling in a lot of gaps in my head. And I did this with Oblivion and Morrowind as well, where I don't need to, like, see an animation of my guy, like, climbing up the side of a mountain, like, hand and feet and everything, because I'm doing that in my head. You know, maybe I'm giving them a little bit of a pass, but for some reason, like, I have no problem with that in this game. I mean, don't play it in third person. I'll give you that advice.
I don't know who does.
Despite what they keep trying to do, just don't do it. And, but, like, just the sheer amount of stuff you can do in this game and the way everything builds on everything, like, it's what I like about video games. It's again, there's no other medium where you can have this kind of story experience where, you know, you come across a burnt-up house and you find, like, a bunch of potions inside of it and some note about some unstable formula this guy found, and then you, like, figure out, like, what happened. Like, oh, this guy was, like, experimenting with alchemy and blew up his house. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love stuff like that. And I mean...
And the dragons are fun.
Looks great. Fighting dragons in that game never gets boring.
No.
The music's incredible.
Yeah,
I love this game's soundtrack. It's just so good. So yes, it was my favorite game I played this year. I mean, I beat it, I've done a bunch more side quests, and I've started another character.
My game of the year is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Wow.
Did you think they would be that?
I did not.
I didn't think it would be either for quite some time.
Yeah.
Until I started playing it.
I didn't think
it.
I'd like it as much as I did either.
No, I didn't. I wasn't excited at all for this, really. But it's a shame that this wasn't the first motion control game to come out.
Well, yeah. If this came out with the Wii, things would be a lot
and
different
right now. That's kind of a big reason behind my admiration of it is that there have been and there will be games like Skyrim. There have been and there will be games like Batman or Portal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll ever, because this, you know, the motion control is kind of a fad that's going away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll ever get a game that plays like this.
Well, I mean, you still have these same control types with the Wii U, and they've said they like it.
You know, I hope so, and I don't know if other people get it, but it seems like it's worked. There's been so much work to get here, or, you know, we should have gotten here now. And now that I've seen it, I don't know if I want to play Zelda any other way.
Right.
And the fact, like, the boss fights in this game that are just sword fights...
They're the best ones.
And not just like, not like how in previous games where you mash a button or maybe you have a block button or a counter button, but like you literally have to aim your sword strikes. It's such a simple thing. Man, is that fun.
Mm-hmm.
And is that satisfying. And it's always condescending. It's a good looking game for the Wii. It is. It's the graphics are at the high point, I'll say right here.
Mm-hmm.
But they use other things to kind of help it along. The music does so much.
Mm-hmm.
Finally orchestrating.
Finally orchestrated, yeah.
I don't even want to spoil something. Like, there's music spoilers, if you could believe it. I don't want to talk about it, but that's how it is. Like, the ending credits theme, which is just like, kind of like the overture, was just great. I loved the sky stuff. I love that you had, like, this one main city, Skyloft,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, you had, like, the one... store in there, and you can upgrade things, you can find materials, and, you know, stuff that have been in other games, but it just worked so well in Zelda. I loved flying around, kind of harkening back to sailing around. Flying was such a great feeling mechanic. It worked so well. You still had that sense of discovering, flying to these little things, but the world below was better organized than maybe it ever has, and easier to travel around because of kind of these teleporting hotspots. The dungeons, many of them are easily some of the most memorable and well-designed dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
Personal favorite, there's one that's just on, like, a ship.
That was cool.
I loved that dungeon. And then the other one is, like, in this kind of, like, almost Mayan or Aztec-looking kind of temples thing, I want to say. But the dungeons really stick out to me. And, again, the final boss and all that stuff is just so, so great. And it's a easily the best story told inside of a Zelda game.
Oh, for sure.
You actually have some characters who have character arcs.
Yeah.
Groose is great.
Everyone
loves Groose. Even Link. Even Zelda is far more interesting as a character than she has been in these games. Well, since at least Wind Waker, where she actually did have an arc there. It's funny. The Zelda games where Zelda doesn't start off as like this princess are always much better. Like, who remembers the Zelda from Twilight Princess? She was just kind of Zelda, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But, I just really liked it a lot. I didn't think I would. I still don't know if I like it better than Wind Waker. It's a tough choice.
I don't think I do.
I don't. I might. I don't know.
I don't know. See, it might be nostalgia creeping in there because I haven't played Wind Waker in years.
All right. Skyward Sword is really good. Everyone needs to. If you were cynical about like me and thought you didn't need to play this game, I really think you need to. I really think you need to check it out. Oh, man, we really disagreed this year.
Yeah.
Last year we disagreed a little bit. This year,
we just flip flopped Mass Effect 2 and Red Dead, right? Mm-hmm. Year before was Uncharted.
I did not think.
What was what was year before that? Let's think of this real quick.
Fallout 3?
Yeah, 08 was Fallout 3.
Was that 08? 07.
07.
Was that BioShock? Or was Fallout 3 07?
Well, that was Orange Box was that year. What the hell did we give it to? I might have it written down somewhere still.
There was a year where you like just gave it to Orange Box and I gave it to something else.
I don't know if I gave it to all of Orange Box or if I picked out.
That's right.
Episode
you didn't
two.
Give it to BioShock. I did, and you just gave it to Orange Box as like a whole. I kind of remember
that. I might have done that. Yeah, something like that. We should ask Evan. He knows everything we've ever done.
Yeah, 07 was our first year, correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that year I picked BioShock, you picked it. Yeah, this all makes sense. I'm pretty certain of it.
Okay.
All right. Are we running pretty long? Do we want to do the upcoming games? Do we want to hold off a week, or
your call? I didn't note the time we started recording. What time did we start recording?
It was like 10-something.
Oh, let's do it.
I think we might already be over an hour.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
We had a long show in a while. We could do one.
Yeah, so here's this game's that I looked around, kind of could think of the top of my head, that most anticipated for 2012. We don't need to go that long into these.
Okay.
But, kind of starting off something coming out earlier, Kingdoms of Amalur, which we talked about.
Oh, I can't wait.
Coming out.
Pre-ordered. I'm picking it up the day it comes out. I am stoked.
Yeah,
This game literally came out of nowhere for me.
I think the only thing that could hurt this is, I mean, I expect bugs in an open world game. It happens, but I hope they're not a lot of bugs.
Oh, Kurt Schilling apologized for that as well.
I know. And, you know, there will be a million, like, videos. It's like with Skyrim and everything. Like, oh, look at this bug. It's funny. It'll happen. I just hope that, you know, I had a game-breaking bug in the demo, which does not. I did not have a game-breaking bug in Skyrim. What's wrong?
You remind me of something I really wanted to talk about with Skyrim.
Oh, God. You already gushed. What?
No, it's not gushing. It's a valid point of criticism. I want to get your thoughts. A lot of people felt that Skyrim should not be considered for Game of the Year because of, like, the bugs, particularly in the PS3 version, where, like, if your save file got too big, like, it was unplayable.
I don't know. I that never affected me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I could only talk to my experience, and I played it on a 360, and not only did I not have that bug, I really didn't hit any bugs in the game.
I hit some bugs, mostly to do with textures and anything.
Yeah, the biggest bug I hit is if I put on the one mask I was using with the one cloak I had, my face
disappeared.
Yeah,
I had that same bug.
Sometimes, I thought that was cool. Like, I didn't have a face.
Well, okay. Anywho, so Kings of Amalur, Mass Effect 3.
Oh, hell yes.
Ready to see that all end. It'll be interesting to see what all this multiplayer crap's about. I just hope they haven't changed it too much from 2.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, I hope they don't play this and I, like, feel like, man, they just kind of went too far.
No, I mean, they could change as long as it's better, I guess.
Well,
I felt the same wave going from 1 to 2.
Yeah, but, you know, there's always Dragon Age 1 to Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, I know.
There's a risk here, there's a precedent. And, Diablo 3... Got to come out at some point. I know they keep changing it. We were talking about that. We're quite excited.
Yes.
Mists of Pandaria. Keep going with the Blizzard thing. We have another expansion.
I'm for it.
You think you're going to go back to it?
Yeah.
You're going to be done with Star Wars?
No, I might.
You're not going to play both at the same time. Come on. No, you won't. No, no one does. No one is ever in the history of MMOs. Come on. You don't really think you'll still be playing Star Wars as much as you are in fall. I'll tell you right now, you're not. You know you're not. You'll probably be done for a while until the expansion comes out.
I don't know.
You will
depends,
be.
Depends
AJ, no offense, I don't see you raiding in Star Wars The Old Republic.
You never know.
You're not going to be raiding. BioShock Infinite. This should probably this should be most people's anticipated game. Yeah, it's mine.
I want to play it so bad.
It's going to be crazy, silly, dumb, good. It's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be amazing.
Borderlands 2.
I'm excited for this. I mean, I love the first Borderlands.
I liked it. I feel like I didn't play enough of the first Borderlands, and for no real good reason. Right. I don't have no good excuse for not playing more of it.
Part of it was, like, we all wanted to play together, and Chris just, like, power leveled through the game, so we couldn't play with him.
Yeah, yeah, it's always that. Max Payne 3. Actually, I'm not really, I can't say I'm excited for. I'm interested.
I'm curious. It could be good. I like the other Max Paynes quite a bit, actually.
I wrote down Last Guardian with a question mark.
If it comes out this year, sure, I'll
play it. If it doesn't come out this year, man, that's bad.
That's bad, yeah. That's really bad.
Time to start worrying. Prey 2, which looked so good at
E3. I can't wait for this game.
So good at E3.
Who, if you would have told me 2 years ago, like, they're going to make a sequel to Prey, and it's going to be one of your most anticipated games of that year, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I mean, it really has nothing to do with Prey, except that Tommy apparently shows up as a ghost or something.
Tomb Raider, the reboot.
Again, I'm interested.
A lot of people seem really excited about this.
A lot of people who are poo-pooing it, like, oh, they took the strong character of Lara Croft and made her a wimp.
She was a strong character.
She was literally an excuse to have boobs on the screen.
She didn't look that wimpy to me in the throat. It looks like she got the shippy out of her.
Well, yeah,
good,
and she cries, and it's like, well, you would too. If you fell off a cliff.
Yeah, whatever. Luigi's Mansion 2 for 3DS. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I hope that's good. I hope it has the same music.
I think it does. I play it. I'm sure it'll have pretty similar music. Resident Evil 6. I know you don't care.
Let me put you like this. I feel like you think I hate this game more than I do.
I do.
Here's the thing.
I do feel like that.
I need to know some gameplay details. Because I can't just automatically assume this game's going to be good for me personally. Because I hated 5. I hated it. I really did. Now, like, you know, Mass Effect 3 gets announced. Well, Mass Effect 2 is, like, one of my favorite games ever made. So, of course, I'm excited for it, like, sight unseen. But they have to prove to me now. They lost me on 5. They have to get me back.
Fair enough. Halo 4.
I'm excited. I'm a big Halo fan, so sign me up.
I guess it's kind of like Resident Evil me. Like, we'll see.
Exactly.
You got to show what you got. The Last of Us.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that coming out this year?
I think so.
Oh, my God. That's
amazing. Oh, I think so. That's the Naughty Dog game, so yeah, Naughty Dog. Now you just have the Vita. We'll have the
Uncharted. There's an Uncharted game on it. Excuse me. The new Wipeout looks good, too.
Yeah. Well. And the Wii U. We don't really know much about software yet.
Yeah.
So
it's really hard to judge
but
that.
But still, I'm excited. It's a system. I'm excited.
Right.
All right. So that's 2012 in a nutshell. If I forgot anything, excuse me.
I was going to say, I can't really think of anything.
That I played. I'm trying to think of games I played. I beat Zelda. I kind of talked about that.
I played the demo for The Darkness 2.
How's that?
I like it a lot, actually.
I heard it was incredibly gory.
It has been a long time since I've played a video game and got uncomfortable by the gore. Not, like, in a bad way. I was like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty gross. I was impressed by that. But, yeah, like, it's nice because the first game tried to do, like, a realistic art style, and this is much more comic book-y. There's, like, some sort of cel shading going on. Kind of like Borderlands, really.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well. It's just the way you use the darkness tentacles in this game is very visceral and very, I don't know, I just really liked it. It just felt, it played very well. Just had good mechanics.
I did pick up Blaze Blue for the 3DS.
You play it yet?
Because it was like on sale for like $14. I was like, oh, I'll get this. Oh, it's cool because it's the version of the game that had two more characters than the first version. I played it a little bit. The 3D effect's not much to write home about. They just take the like planes and kind of separate them. It's kind of weird because like the characters are sticking out almost too much from like the background in a weird way.
Yeah, that's just
bad programming. Just turn it off. Like, whatever. But I mean, it seemed, you know, it seems to be Blaze Blue. It seems to be all there.
So. Does it have single cart multiplayer?
I don't know.
We have to check that out.
I'll have to check. You know, it's a good fighting game. I really want to play Minish Cap now.
Yeah. Because there's a new puzzle game that's out on the iPhone that's worth talking about.
It's called
Puzzle Juice. Imagine like a mix between Bookworm and Tetris.
Interesting.
Where you're basically playing Tetris, dropping blocks. When you make a line, instead of the line disappearing, it becomes random letters. And then you have to drag your finger through to find words in those letters while you're still playing Tetris. Then there's also colors to the block, so if you get at least 4 of the same colors touching, you can tap those colors and also turn those into letters.
does sound as interesting as Henry Hatsworth, which was literally playing a puzzle game while you're doing a 2D side-scroller. That was nuts. That was
so yeah, it's like 99 cents. It's like made by one guy. It's really good.
Like
anything else?
I feel like I had something to say. Maybe not, though. Maybe that's just a lie.
No,
I'm a liar.
Lies.
No more lies. Okay, no then.
Let's
get to the releases.
What's coming out?
Which we actually have some releases again.
Video games are starting again.
Yeah, yeah. Final Fantasy 13-2 for 360 PS3. I mean, you know, it's... Look, the battle system for Final Fantasy 13 was great.
Like
now you have more like the old school kind of systems. I think the battle system has even been changed to be slightly more like the old ATB system somehow. At least with the timing of it. I don't know. Maybe that just means that they let you control the characters again. That's always a big hang-up with people that I don't get.
Yeah,
I can't control all the characters.
Of all things that bother me about Final Fantasy XIII, that
well,
was
I feel like what bothered you is more the story parts, and I'm sure the story is just going to be as kind of ridiculous as ever. So, Soul Calibur 5, 316 PS3.
Which, I went from 0 to 60 on this game.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Never Dead, PS3 and 360. I didn't know this was coming out so soon.
What is it?
That's that zombie game Konami's making. It was like the where you get hit, you just lose limbs. It's like kind of pick them up. Like you play as a zombie.
Okay.
And a bunch of crap. Bioshock 2 apparently is coming out.
Really?
Yeah, it's a...
For what platform? Mac?
I don't know. Another UFC personal trainer. Whatever. All right, so yeah, basically Final Fantasy 13 and Soul Calibur 5. All right, that's it.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody.
Hang on before you do your thing. I should say one more time. I was on This Podcast Contains Spoilers with Evan Killam, where we do talk about Skyward Sword. So if you want to get some of my more spoilery thoughts on the end of the game, you can check that out. It's available.
Does the podcast contain spoilers or something?
Yeah. If you find it on iTunes and Zune. I believe his Twitter handle is This Podcast. Same thing for Facebook.
Should we also announce that Drew Robbins won the contest?
Drew Robbins, you win. No one guessed them in the correct order. And I'm sorry, Timmy Cap. I am. Not only was Dead Space 2 absolutely not a dark horse, but when you said I had another week to play it, yeah, I sold that game a long time ago.
Which was a good game. I wish I beat it.
It was okay.
It might have been on my list somewhere.
For some reason, I didn't feel compelled to finish it.
Everybody thought Skyrim was going to be my game of the year.
Yep.
Timmy
so
Cap
much.
Even said that this one was easy. You were wrong. You thought wrong.
So, Drew, I'll get in touch with you to get you your beta code. Yes.
All right.
Okay, now you can do your thing.
I feel like all my Game of the Years have had RPG elements in them. With the exception of maybe Red Dead Redemption, which is, I don't know. Anyways, all right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com, also on the iTunes Music Store, twitter.com/explodingbarrel, and facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening. You'll see us here right again next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Right again next week.
Yeah, I know. That made no sense. Bye. Who else had a Saturn? Who else?